Here we are on Sunday morning of our 113th session of the First Primitive Baptist Association of Oklahoma, and we're very thankful that the Lord has blessed us with His mercy and His grace and His Spirit. It's been a wonderful season of refreshment from the Lord. I'd like to begin, as you know, a theme that we've kind of had on our mind and we've shared with you throughout this weekend is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church is not looking for His coming, they really are in a bad shape. We need to live looking for it, right? And we don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or next year, or 300 years from now, but we do know absolutely that it is going to happen. And each day brings us closer. So I'd like to direct your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These should be well-worn words for you, and yet they're still uplifting and they'll never grow old. Picking up the thought in verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those that have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." These are appropriate words to read at a funeral. We've done that many a time. We've stood at the graveside. As we've left a dearly departed one, as we leave their remains. But we know that that is not the last place for God's people. That someday the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit, is coming back to recover that which He paid for, and that is our bodies, and we'll be fashioned into the glorious likeness of our Son, of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we shall live forever with Him in glory and peace and happiness. And that day is coming. And that is intended, that knowledge is given to us so that we might live with hope. We might live looking forward and rejoicing in our Savior all our days.
Brothers and sisters and friends, I'm sorry to appreciate the opportunity to be back here and be a part of this meeting again. I'm thankful that we've had a great weekend, and I hope that you are praying for me as I try to speak to you this morning. I spoke to you this morning, the Friday morning, on the subject of the three R's of the Scripture. I'm going to give you this morning another three letters in the alphabet. And those other three letters in the alphabet this time, it's the three S's. Those three S's are strength, sanctification, and salvation. I believe all three of those are necessary. And I believe that they're taught in the Scripture all through. So with that, I'm going to call your attention to start with to a text of Scripture. We're going to go to the first word, and that word is strength. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says this. It says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Now, the first thing we've got to do is qualify some words in that text of Scripture. I think we have to qualify the word "all." Sometimes in the Scripture, the word "all" does not mean everything in its entirety. But we have to put it in its context of what the word "all" is. For instance, Scripture says that all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, that's found, I think it is, in Matthew chapter 6 or something like that. John chapter 6, thank you. We have to qualify that word "all." Now, sometimes the word "all" will mean everything in its entirety. Sometimes it'll mean the all that context tells us. In this text of Scripture, where it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, it don't literally mean that I can do everything in its entirety. Because there's some things that the Lord's people can do that God does not bless. There's some things that the Lord's people can do that is not pleasing to God, and God will not strengthen that in it. So I believe that it falls our duty, though, this morning, and Brother Charles and I have sat right out here in this lobby yesterday and discussed some of those things, and he and I are agreeing on that, and I'm thankful that, if he'll let me say this, an older man, a middle-aged man, and a young man can sit there and agree together. That's something to be thankful for. So in the book of Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I believe that the Lord's people today have strength that's not in themselves, but I believe it's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe that it's in the fact that the Lord came down, that he was obedient unto death. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I preached one time in deep South Georgia, and I preached that the death of Christ was an obedient death, and I still believe it was, because he says, Father, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, Father, he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I believe the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was an obedient death. And I believe that where the all things in that appears, if we as the Lord's people are obedient to what the Lord teaches us, I believe that's where our strength is going to be. I believe our strength is going to be in what God has done, what he has done, what he doth do, what he will continue to do. So I believe today there's strength for the Lord's people to continue. Go with me to the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 41, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 29. And he says this. He says, he give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth which faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I believe in that. Now, I've only got a few minutes, and I hope that I can get everything in that I want to get to in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that he says there's something in this for the Lord's people to do. Now, the skeptic is going to come back, and he's going to say this to me, that I thought Primitive Baptist people believed in the grace of God. They do. And he said, the skeptic's going to come back and say, well, I didn't think that they believed in works. They do. But I believe that the works applies after the grace has been applied to their life. You see, that's a big difference. Now notice what he says. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. All right. I believe there's something then for the Lord's people to do. I believe that there's a way for them to walk. The scripture says, and I believe in Isaiah chapter five, I believe it is, that says, O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. I believe today that if we can walk in the light of the Lord, what the Lord has done for us in the salvation of his people and finishing that, I believe that is our responsibility. That's our privilege today. Now, there's a lot of young folks in here, and if you don't get another thing out of this meeting and out of what I tell you, I'd like for you to hear this. If you've got a decision to make in your life, and if whether you're going to go to college, whether you're going to get married, whatever's going to happen to you, I believe today that the best thing that you and I can do in any decision that we've got to do is to do as this text of Scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord and shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings of eagles. Whatever decision that you've got to make in your life, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, whenever Moses was leading the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptian people, he said whenever they got to the Red Sea, now you got to understand that Moses was not a military man. He wasn't a West Point graduate or an Annapolis graduate, but I believe that he was called of God. And I believe in any of this that, and I've said this yesterday, that I believe God does not call the qualified, but I believe he qualifies the called. And I believe there's a big difference in this. And I believe when he did that, I believe he qualified Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptian people. But here's the scene for it. Here they were with the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army on the other side. And they could no doubt sit there and hear the clanging of those chariots, hear the hoofbeats of those horses, and then they got to murmuring and they got to complaining, and they begin to say, all right, now Moses, look what you've got. This is modern day talk, you know. Hey, all right, look, Moses, what you've got us into. Here we are with the sea on this side and the army on this side. What are we going to do now? He said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe if we can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, I believe we're doing exactly what Isaiah told his children. He told in this text of Scripture. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We sung a song here a while ago that says, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I may have told you this story before, but I preached that one time, and I was preaching somewhere, and I told them, I said, I love singing that song. I believe because the Lord's people is going to fly away one of these days. I had a well-meaning Primitive Baptist preacher this time that came to me, and he said, Brother Hayes, I want you to tell me, what in the world do you think that are we going to fly away? Well, I tell you what. The text of Scripture that he just read, I don't believe when he said we're all going to be caught up together to meet him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. How in the world are you going to get around that? If we're not going to fly away, how in the world are you going to get around that? So I believe today that we're going to fly away on the strength of God's love. I believe we're going to fly away on the finished work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I believe we're going to fly away on God's grace. I believe we're going to fly away on whatever has been done for us. So that it gives us, in this text of Scripture, it all comes together. Because I'm telling you, we need to be waiting and longing for the day when we are going to fly away. But what we're going to face in this life, the pitfalls and the tribulations, and by the way, you're going to have them. I'll tell you this. I've had folks tell me, and this, I believe sometimes this is what's going to, why some people get so, if you will, disinterested in Christianity today, because they'll hear some TV preacher, and I'm going to be honest with you. I listen to TV preachers, I guess, a whole lot more than I ought to, and I'll get just as mad as fire whenever I hear one of them sitting there saying something, and my wife will say, well, if it affects you that way, why in the world do you sit there and listen to that stuff? Well, I just like to know what folks are being, if you will. Some people are being exposed to. But they're going to tell us, if you do this, you take this step, you make this decision, all these problems are going to go away. I got news for you, friends. They're not. Now, you're going to have them right on. I heard a Primitive Baptist preacher say one time, he said, if I've ever been born of the Spirit of God, he said, if I've ever been regenerated, if I've ever been born again, he said, I've never been tempted of the devil again. Brother, I don't know where he's been, but he ain't been in the same place as I've been. He hasn't been in the same places that I've been in. Because I believe he's real. And I believe that those that he's already been born again, those are the ones that he puts these rosy things in front of us. But you know what we can do? We can wait on the Lord and renew our strength, brother, in that. So he says, but they shall wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, you know, sometimes human being, you'd think in that text of scripture, we've got our granddaughter here, and we're thankful that she's come with us. She's had a great time. She's got a brother that's 4 years old. Now, we decided we couldn't manage both of them, because I'm going to tell you, I got to the point where I can't hardly chase the 4 year old myself. But I'm telling you this, I believe in that. If we can do, as the scripture says, there's some exercise for the Lord's people to do. And in raising a child, and notice how a child develops, do you know it's different from what this text of scripture says? You got to crawl, then you walk, then you run. This is different in this text of scripture. It uses the word run first. It says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, in this text of scripture, I believe there's some running for the Lord's people to do. I believe there's some walking for the Lord's people. And I believe the scripture teaches us in the book of Hebrews, it says, run with patience the race that is set before you, continually looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I've told this several times. Maybe she won't mind me telling it again. I'm just not a patient person part of the time. And I'll tell this, I said, my wife and I have been married 47 years. I said, I'm a whole lot more patient now than I was 40 years ago. And if my patience has run down over 47 years ago, I'd have hated to live with me in those days. But I'm telling you this, I believe if the problems that the Lord's people have and face us for our churches today are get crossed up, and if they wait and see the salvation of the Lord, if they run with patience, the race that is set before them, we wouldn't be in some of the shape that we're in today. So our strength today then is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Then they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I believe today, as sure as I'm standing before you this morning, I believe the strength of the Lord's people needs to be renewed day by day by day by day. I've been asked the question a whole lot by a lot of folks. And they'll ask me this, if you believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that the gospel is not necessary to save them for heaven and immortal glory, and I do, the gospel is not necessary for that, there's people that's going to be housed in heaven, now there's people that's bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's never heard the gospel preached. I hope you'll agree. I don't hear anything about that, but I hope that's an amen for you, because I believe that there's people that he's bought that's never heard the gospel preached. But their strength is still going to be renewed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you this. I believe the gospel has its purpose, and I believe the gospel has the purpose that the gospel has is to renew the strength of Jesus Christ. To renew what's been done for us, that we hear it again, time and time and time again. You know, whenever the John the Baptist was cast into prison. Now, here's a man that baptized the very God of heaven. Imagine that. Standing there baptizing the God that's been made in human form. And he saw the Spirit of God come down like a dove and lit on him. Yet when he got cast into prison, he sent his disciples back to the Savior and said, "Art thou the Christ, or should we look for another?" We can get ourselves in shapes today. You can be in prison without being guards all around you, without having bars all around you. You know that? But I believe today that the gospel is the means of renewing our strength, realizing where our salvation comes from, realizing that we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that it's already done. So he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's two things that the Lord's people better be doing day by day by day. They better be running and they better be walking, brother. Brother Charles and I, 2 years ago, we walk every day. My wife and I does. He and I roomed together. I don't think he knew this happened. But I brought my walking shoes. We stayed over at that motel. I didn't want to wake him up, but it come time for me to walk. I couldn't find my walking shoes in the dark. So what I did, I put these cowboy boots on to do my walking. Brother, was that ever a mistake? My feet hurt. I love these boots, but brother, they ain't made for walking. Not that kind. But I believe there's a walk for the Lord's people to do. And I hope if we're going to be up and about our Father's business, our strength needs to be renewed in Jesus Christ. So the first one of these S's then is the strength that God gives us. All right, the next one we're going to look at is and time's running out on me fast. The next one that we're going to look at is that word sanctified or sanctification. And I believe now that the scripture teaches to be, you know what that word means? That word means to be set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. And I want you to notice what that says. And it says, now, by the way, nobody knows, can tell you truly, for sure, 100%, who wrote the book of Hebrews. To me, it don't matter. And the reason that it don't matter is because if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it really don't matter who wrote it down. See, if it's inspired by God, it does not matter who penned it down. So in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, that next word, the word sanctified, is, and that it's used several different ways in the scripture, sanctify, sanctified, sanctification, so on. But this is what the writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. He says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, notice that word all is appearing again in that text of scripture, and it's got to be qualified. Now, we sat back out here in the lobby yesterday with me and some more fellas, and I got some news for you. We sat right out there in that lobby, and we have settled every problem the Primitive Baptist Church has got. We settled every one of them. If you'll just listen to us, now we've got it figured out. Now, I don't know whether it'll work in reality or not, but it sure worked in that lobby yesterday. But what we've got to do, we've got to qualify that all. I'm going to tell you something. If I came in to Bethlehem Church and I began to preach such things that some of you may not have ever heard of this, if I began to preach something called a hollow log doctrine, if I began to preach something called the whole man doctrine, if I began to preach universalism, that everybody is going to go to heaven regardless, you know what you folks would do? You folks would unite and say, brother, you take that garbage back to Georgia with you. That's what you'd say. But that word all has to be qualified. It don't mean every human being. In this text of Scripture, it don't mean every human being. It means all that the Father hath given the Son. Every one of them. That's the all. When I was still employed with a telephone company, riding along in a telephone truck, this man began to ask me what some things I believed in. We got into that word all. He began to tell me, oh, yeah, all's everything. I said, so we turned down this street. Now, here we are in a Dodge Dakota truck. Here was this sign that said, no trucks allowed. I turned to him and I said, you and I got to get off this street. Why? I said, because that sign says no trucks allowed. Here we are in a little old Dodge Dakota truck. He said, oh, no, that's not what that means. I said, what am I been trying to tell you? You got to qualify what it says. I said, I've been spending the last hour trying to get that across to you. But the all in there is not everything in its entirety. It's everyone, the elect family of God, that's going to be sanctified. By the which also we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now let's look at that word offering. And let's go to another text of Scripture. One that's used and misused by the religious world. That says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's got to be qualified. What world's he talking about? But let's look at, and we're not getting into that, but notice it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ was never offered to the world. He was never offered to the world, but he was given. So in this text of Scripture, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now we got to ask ourselves this. Have we found a conflict in the Scripture? No. If we get to the point where we find a conflict in the Scripture, the conflict's not in the Scripture, the conflict's in the reader. That's where it is. So notice what it says. It uses that word offering. But now Jesus Christ wasn't offered to the world, but I tell you where he was offered. He was offered to the Father, and that offering was accepted by the Father. In that, then, those that are sanctified, those that are set apart, those are the ones that he died for. All right. By the which also we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, let's skip on down, and you're going to find that again. We go to verse 12. But this man, after he had offered once one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. That word offered's there again. But he still wasn't offered to me, and he wasn't offered to you. He is offered to the Father. So I got to turn around and tell you that accepting Jesus Christ is biblical. But I got your attention. Accepting Jesus Christ is biblical. But now, if my father were alive today, after all the things that he'd done for me in raising us kids, trying to teach us some manners, trying to teach us things before he turned us loose on society, if I told him all of a sudden, you know what I've decided to do? I've decided that I'm going to accept you as being my father. He'd say, how have I failed raising you? Accepting that fact don't make him my father. Accepting Jesus Christ don't make him the Savior. He's the Savior whether we accept the fact or not. It's got nothing to do with that. But it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. I'm telling you, it wasn't but one offering made. And that offering goes all the way back into past history to the first heir of promise. It's going to go clear into the future to the very last heir of promise. They're everyone under the blood of Jesus Christ, because he made the offering to the Father, and that offering was accepted. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. But by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, that word perfected in that text of Scripture has got to be looked at, and it's got to be qualified. It's got to be studied. You're not going to find a perfect man or woman. I hate, it's not me. I begin to look at myself and say, you know, I told some folks out there in the lunchroom a while ago that I went to my 50-year high school class reunion last year. I saw and talked to the first girl that I ever took on a date. And I was amazed how old she had gotten. Boy, did she look old. And tell you this. See, I'm not looking as old as she did. Telling you this. Nobody's perfect. So that word can't mean without sin, without mistake. But that word that he perfected forever them that are sanctified, we're mature in Jesus Christ. And I got some news for you. I'm thankful today. And I told a sister here yesterday, one of the highlights of my preaching life was baptizing my six-year-old granddaughter. Now, she may not be able to defend the truth like I can, but I believe she's got some maturity. She's been perfected in some things because she knows how she feels. You understand? But by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we've got strength. We've got sanctification. The best thing through that is the next one that we're going to look at is that word salvation. You go to the book of Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, and it says salvation is of the Lord. You go to Psalms chapter 3 and verse 8, and it says salvation belongeth to the Lord. But you go to the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, and it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, ask yourself, if salvation is of the Lord in one place, if it belongs to the Lord in one place, yet it turns around and tells us to work our salvation out in another place. Again, have we found a conflict in the scripture? No. It's got to be qualified. I'm telling you, there is a salvation for us right now. There's a salvation for the Lord's people right now. And I believe it's an earnest expectation of what's going to come for the Lord's people. There is a salvation that you and I can work out, but rest assured of one thing, that if we read in the scripture where there is a stipulation on that salvation, it's timely. It's for right now. But if there is no stipulation on it, and go to the book of Romans. Romans, I believe, is chapter 4 and verse 20. Chapter 6 and verse 23. But it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if there is a stipulation that's put on it, it's for time, right now. But if there's no stipulation on it, where it's a free gift, it's eternal. And I believe today that there is an eternal salvation provided for the Lord's people through the finished work of Jesus Christ. What he's done will stand done forever. I don't believe that I can do something to lose my eternal salvation. I told some folks, you're not preaching off somewhere. I said, now, my wife and I have a certain fellowship with each other. And I said, I don't think she's ever threatened to divorce me. She threatened to kill me a few times, but she, nothing that drastic. But I believe today that we've got a fellowship in the gospel. That's where our time salvation is. But I also tell you today that you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Yet work it out. Work out your own. But it's not of yourselves. Those two's got to be qualified. Those two has got to be looked at. They've got to be rightly divided. One is for now. One is for eternity to come. And I'm thankful today that, and here's the feedback that I get. If I believe, the folks will tell me, that if I believe the way you do, I'd just get out and do anything that I wanted to do, and I'd get by with it. I got some news for you folks. That's why I drove 840 miles, because I'm doing what I want to do. Because of the saving power of God, because he has reached down. Told my wife a while ago, here not long ago, I said, I think I just need to quit preaching. I said, I've done it 40 years. I'm running out. And I said, I may have to start. I don't know. She said, I got news for you. She said, in your 40 years of preaching, the half's not yet been told. So the half hadn't yet been told. There's still timely things for us to do. There's timely things for us to be up and about our Father's business. It's the time of the Feast of the Passover, whenever they were a day's journey out of Jerusalem. It took them 3 days to get back and find it. They discovered that the child was gone. They wasn't even in the caravan, but they got back and found him in the temple, teaching the scribes and the Pharisees, the PhDs and the lawyers and all that sort of stuff. And those lawyers marveled at what they were hearing. And then so his mother said, all right, then modern day, it's time to go. He said, do you not know that I must be up and about my Father's business? I believe if we as the Lord's people are going to be up and about our Father's business, we're going to be continually, day by day by day by day, working out that salvation that we can enjoy the blessings of God in this life, looking with great anticipation of the coming day, whenever the Lord returns to this place once again. I may have told you this. I was troubled. Elder Wayne Peters, our pastor, we're the same age, went to high school together, now we're preaching together. His daddy, we buried his daddy in the cemetery there. And Ringo, well, where else you going to bury him besides the cemetery? But I got to looking, and I said, there's something wrong. I got to looking, and they were burying him the wrong way. You're supposed to bury somebody with their head to the west so they can look to the east and see the coming of the Lord. I left there that day just as troubled as I could be, and I went to Brother Wayne the next Sunday. I said, Brother Wayne, it bothers me. I said, I'm troubled about this thing. They've buried your daddy the wrong way. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being redeemed? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being a child of God? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep the Lord from coming back? And I said, no. He said, do you think that that's going to keep the blood of Jesus Christ from reaching him? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from coming out of there? And I said, no. He said, do you think we need to be having this conversation? And I said, no. Went on my way. I'm telling you, nothing is going to separate us from God's love. Nothing is going to separate us from the eternal gift of God, the salvation of his people. But because it isn't, let us day by day work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. May God bless you.